Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
For those who don't know me, I'm married to the wonderful Tamara. She is a fiery blonde pocket rocket. She's the volunteers pastor at Myrie, just come off out of maternity leave and straight back into it. And so I have two kids. I have Shiloh, who's 4.5. Don't forget the half. She's 4.5, all right? And she's in Rockets right now. And Caleb, who is 8 months old, he's a gorgeous little blonde hair, blue eye. Eat your heart out. But I know some of you are going to be mad because it's just Shiloh and I here today. And Caleb is with mom at Myrie. And so that means no cuddles today. I'm sorry. With Caleb, I mean, not me. You got to ask permission if you want to cuddle me, but we'll get him down next time. But hey, it's been a big couple of weeks in across our Next Gen ministries with kids and youth and that. Can I share some testimonies with you? Yeah, there's been some really cool things happening. We had the youth camp just 2 weekends ago, and we had over 350 young people across all of our campuses come together to seek hard after God. And there's some really cool testimonies. One of the leaders and one of the students, two people actually, were completely healed from lactose intolerance. How about that? Praise God. They've been chugging down milk and eating ice cream and all that. We had a student with back pain, was instantly healed as his Connect. Pray for him. We saw so many addictions broken. People set free from just unhealthy stuff. Multiple people being healed from trauma, past traumas from abuse and things through encountering the love of God, right? We saw, check this out, not one, but two people received deliverance and were set free from Tourette's. How incredible is that, right? All their clicks, everything gone, right? Check this out. Another person was delivered of ADHD. Yeah, completely gone, right? They said all their compulsions are gone, the busyness in their head, completely gone. Amazing, right? And we had young teens getting activated in the prophetic, like hearing from God. This one 14-year-old boy had a word for our guest speaker, Pastor Chris, who came in from Brisbane. And so he went up to him and said, hey, I feel like God is saying this to me for you, and shared it, and it just like broke Pastor Chris and was spot on. Like, it just, and he ministered to our guest speaker, like, who's come over to minister to us. Just incredible, just seeing so many encounters. And I was at most of that camp, and I've been to probably about 15 or so youth camps over the years, and I have never seen a move of God like that, where just the freedom and the deliverance and the breakthrough was absolutely incredible. And so God is really doing something across the youth ministry of Nations Church. You know, keep Conan and the team in your prayers. Something is building here too. Amen. And so that's really exciting. And so that finished on the Sunday 2 weeks ago. We took Monday off, and then Tuesday we jumped straight into Nations Kids Summer Days, which in hindsight we'll give a little more space between the two because there was a few very exhausted people then. But we had over 140 kids come out to Myrie, 2 days of there was heaps of fun and good times together, but we had kids encountering God for the first time ever, like those life-defining moments of, wow, I know God is real. God met with me, you know, and we had kids making lifetime memories in church. Like, how good is that, right? That their best days were had at church, you know, so good. And we had two kids, their wrists got healed. We had two injured wrists, both healed, which is amazing. And kids learning to hear the voice of God. We did a session on that. And so many kids starting to hear God's voice. It was very, very cool. And it was great for a first one. And we're excited to see that build as well. And so there's great things happening in the Next Gen. Amen. I so thank God that our church so values and invests into the Next Gen, into your kids and our teenagers, into those coming after us. Amen. And so I'm really excited for Next Gen this year. I really believe God is doing a work. He's bringing increase. And I feel like I want to encourage you guys to be a part of that, whether that's in prayer, whether that's supporting wherever it needed. Maybe someone here, you were involved, but you kind of shelved yourself. Maybe it was you needed a rest or you needed to deal with some other things. Hey, maybe God's calling you to jump back in and say, come on, I want to partner with the Next Gen. I want to be a part of what God is doing in these kids, in these young people. Amen? Yeah? Cool. Thank you, Catherine. We'll still be spiritual, but without the keys. Okay, guys, we can do that. But hey, we're in February, guys. We are in February 2023. It's happening. It's moving. That ship is sailing, whether you're ready for it to or not. Or how nice it would be to be in a ship right now, just, you know, on a cruise. Anyone ever done a cruise? oh, it ruined me. Just all that eating and good times and fun, that's all I want to do now. I mean, all right, stay focused. Anyways, but the beginning of the year, it always has this fresh start to it. You know, like Pastor Ken preached those first few weeks of the year amazingly across about this whole having a fresh start with God. And I feel like I've got enough to stew on from those messages. I don't need to hear any more messages for the rest of the year. I got some work to do already. But on top of that, you see all the fresh ads and promotions and ideas being thrown at us. You know, it's time to get that brand new car, you know, to do something for you. You deserve this, you know, or you know, just you need to take time. Have a bubble bath with some cucumbers and a face mask, you know, like, you know, or hey, you need to buy that half price darkroom tent and go on that camping adventure you've been hanging out for. You know, it's darkroom. You can sleep until 9:30 in the morning before the sun even wakes you up. You know, that's going to get you ready for the year. Or no, you know what? It's time to upgrade the video games. We got to get the PS5, honey. It's time. We got to do it. You know, stop nudging your spouse as I see you guys over there, right? Or you follow some Instagram celebrity and you don't know why you follow them, but they say, you know, This is your year. Take more time for you. You know, lock the kids in the bathroom. Have a wine and watch Runaway Bride, you know? Runaway Bride, any fans? Anyone know what it's... Yeah. It's one of Julia Roberts' it's one of my favorites of Julia Roberts. And Richard Gere. I mean, need I say more? He's a handsome fella, am I right? But stay focused. Anyways, all right. Church, however, then we look at church, right? And we come to church, and even church can become all about ourselves. It can come about what I need and what's for me. And absolutely, church is a place where we can get ministered to and God does a work in us. But last time I checked, the ecclesia, that the church was about us coming together as one to worship the King, to bring glory to Him for who He is. Now, He is so kind and so good that when we do that, He responds by moving in us and working in us. But it's actually not meant to be about us either. And so we get this barrage of self, you know, self-promotion, self-seeking, self-serving, self-care, right? And it's not evil in its entirety. You know, the world is to be enjoyed and explored, and we are to steward and to take care of our bodies, but we got to calibrate what's in our hearts with the Word of God, right? Let's make the plans of God and the will of God the center of our lives. You know, after all, we are Christians, right? Yeah, like meaning that we declared our lives were no longer ours, but His, like for He saved us for eternity. Yeah, we got some Christians here today. Great, yeah. None of us are immune to this constant wrestle of wanting to be all about ourselves. You know, and for us, for those of you that don't know, we were in Cambodia for just under 6 years. We pioneered and led the campus in Phnom Penh over there, and we've come back just almost 2 years now. And on this journey of repatriating back into life in Perth, I mean, we didn't have anything. Like I don't have an esky. I don't have a drill. I don't have just the stuff you kind of get over time. And so this has involved us buying a car, you know, and then we're able to buy a house. And there's been a lot of amazing blessing and evidence of God's goodness and His generosity towards us. But it also has a dark side, if I'm honest. Like, there's a little bit of a dark side in it all, because in everything, there's always the godly perspective, and then there's also the flesh that wants to have our attention and suck us in. And so what that looked like for me was wanting to acquire more stuff. Like, okay, we got a car. Awesome. Well, now we need a second car. Because what about when you want to go that way and I'm going that way and you pick up? So we need a second car. You know what? Now we need a bigger car. If we're going to go on that camping adventure, we need a bigger car, right? We got to get a bigger car. And praise God, we got a house. I want a better kitchen. Why don't we do something real nice for the kitchen? We'll knock down the walls for the laundry, expand that out. And the patio, we got to do some new tiles or like, you know, pavers down there. Oh, what about floorboards? Floorboards would be nice through the house, you know? And but this all costs money. And, you know, it works a bit of a grind right now. Maybe I could do something else. Or maybe I'd do a bit of extra work, you know? Get a bit more money, you know, then we could make our house better. We could go on some really cool holidays, maybe another cruise. But the Western world is tough, right? Fashion changes all the time. It's hard to keep up. I can't stand on a stage and preach and not look good, you know? So, man, I got to factor that in. And before I realize, I've gone down this incredible spiral of self, right? Me and what I want, right? Just me, right? Yeah, that's okay. I'm here. You count to me. You minister to me. I'm here for that today, you know? And I thank the Holy Spirit for grabbing me before I spiral too far into that. But the reality is, it's a bottomless pit, right? The desire to satisfy self, serve self, right? Feed the unending desires of the flesh, right? And I've even mentioned my issues with Cadbury Dairy Milk chocolate, you know? We haven't even gone down that road. That's next week. We'll meet together again. I'll share, you know, you pray for me, that kind of thing. But no, I'm not here for my personal counseling session. If there's any professionals, though, please, let's chat after. I need you. But what I'm trying to help you see is firstly, number one, like how easy it is for us as Christians to slip into becoming so self-consumed, right? Like this morning, right, how much of what's come out of your mouth this morning has been about you? About what you need, what you want, or what makes you comfortable, right? Oof, that's a good test, right? And secondly, is to help you see that this road, this path that we take ourselves on of self-satisfaction, self-seeking, it never ends and it does not satisfy, right? There is never a point of contentment or sustained true joy when we seek the things of this world. So what's the alternative? You know, what's the God design for you and I? What do we consume ourselves with that isn't self-serving, materialistic, that does lead to genuine fulfillment, that leads to Makarios? Now, what Makarios isn't the latest IKEA furniture. It's not a little Mediterranean island off the coast of Greece. But Makarios is Greek. And in the English, we use the word blessing. Blessed, right? To be blessed. But that can get quite misconstrued or misused, that word, I feel. And so it's better understood as referring to the believer in Christ who is satisfied. Someone say satisfied and secure in the midst of life and its hardships because of the indwelling fullness of the Spirit. It pertains to a state or condition of joy. Joy is not fleeting or circumstantial. So how do we obtain? How do we walk in or dwell in this place of blessing, of Makarios, right? And Makarios, that word, is specifically found in Paul's reference to the very words of Jesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Says this, he says, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus." That's great advice, right? "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Ah, I don't like that verse. That's not nice. You know, if you're anything like me, I actually grew up with that passage being probably used more as a guilt trip to be coerced into doing something for someone else that I didn't want to do. Is that just me? You know, it's like the last donut and someone says, "Oh, it's Shannon, it's better to give than to receive." You know, I'm like, "Fine, take the last stinking donut. Yay, bless me." You know, but I felt God just leading me into this passage and deeper, and I feel like it's a word for the church too, to dive into this passage and catch a revelation of the transformational power that this principle carries. And so the title of my message today is Less Me Leads to Blessed Me. Less Me Leads to Blessed Me. You see, we live in a world so self-consumed, right? It's all about you. Do what you need to do to be happy, right? But then we see society is overwhelmed with mental health issues, with anxiety, depression, people fighting each other, right? Yet here in the West, we have everything we need. Like, we're inundated with stuff and with choice and with options, right? But Jesus speaks into that. And basically, just like every principle we're called to follow in the Word of God, it lays in stark contradiction to what the world says. God says, if you want to be fulfilled, you want to be satisfied, right? Then give. Be about others, not yourself. Wow, so perhaps my freedom, my fulfillment is actually found in taking my eyes off of myself and being about others. Wow, blessing, fulfillment, satisfaction comes when we choose to give to and to care about others more than ourselves. Now, Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, you probably heard that scripture used in like an offering message or some kind of finance thing. And I want you to understand, it's actually not exclusive to finance. By all means, if you want to give $1 million to the church today, that's easy. M-I-L-L-I-O-N, if you're writing on a check, if you still do checks. I'm just messing with you. But it's actually not exclusive to finance. If you look at the context of the verses before, he's talking about forgiving and not condemning and not time. Right? Our faith, our virtue, our energy, okay? Do you guys know Tracy's a really measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over? Like, Tracy, it's not a dance move, okay? Do you guys know Tracy's a really good dancer? She does like hip hop and stuff. She was teaching the kids at summer days, but you know, it's not, you know, this like good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, you know. It's nothing like that, all right? But we gotta understand, okay? At harvest time, right? In the context of the scripture, at harvest time, the corners of the field were always left for the poor, right? And so whilst the paid workers, they would work the fields, so they'd have their baskets, fill them up, take it back to the barn, unload it, back and forth, right? The poor, however, who knows how far they would have traveled to come to this field and to glean from it, right? And so they're gathering their basket's worth, and that's it. So it talks about a good measure. Well, they would fill that basket as much as they possibly can, right? Then they would press it down to squeeze more in, right? Top it up a bit more, press it down, right? Then they would shake it together, and so that it would eliminate any air gaps amongst the grains, right? Add a bit more, and so then they would pour in as much as they possibly can to the point that it was running over, and that's what they would take home. And so saying, when you give, it'll be given to you in that all you can possibly contain running over. So what it's saying is when we choose to be consumed with others, we align ourselves with the heart of God. And so God responds with pouring out more into our lives, more than we can actually physically manage and put together. That's incredible. With the same measure as you've poured out love onto others, I'm going to pour out greater love on you. You know, we had dinner just the other weekend with a couple, and they were telling us how God's really been speaking to them and challenging them about stepping out and healing. And they were encouraged to do this fast. And she was telling me that God told her to fast coffee. And she's like, I do one a day. That doesn't seem like a big thing. And her body had this massive, like, withdrawal. She felt horrific, horrible, headaches, like, just emotional all over the place. Like, whether it was the coffee or something else going on, I don't know. But she was in this really rough place. And still trying to be obedient to walk in this healing. And so she ran into someone that had something going on. And she's like, can I pray for you for healing? And they said, yeah, sure. And she did that, you know, like it's someone you don't know. So you're kind of like, all right, I'll do it, God. And you just kind of, okay, amen. And you just kind of leave. You don't even check, like, are they okay? Did they get healed or what? And so she left. But then she realized afterwards that when she was obedient in that space of being about this other person's healing, she then realized, whoa, I'm completely healed. Like how I felt, all this weight, the grossness, the headaches, it was all completely gone, right? Because she began to give that to others. God's like, watch me give that to you. Incredible, right? So much of our stress, our struggles, our discontentment, and this lack of makarios was due to us being so consumed with ourselves, right? But rather, when we choose to be about others, we step into a promise of blessing and joy that's regardless of our circumstance. Amen? What an incredible setup this is by God, right? Like, you think if we were just actually going to be good Christians, right, we could just be about others simply out of obedience because God says to do it, and simply out of what we just love God so much because of what he's done in our lives. Like, that's my motivation. But on top of that, right, God is so good that he responds to us sowing into the lives of others by having us reap an amazing blessing and return as we are about others. That's incredible, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, church, so many of us, you would have experienced this firsthand. You know, when you serve at the Love Community Day or a Heroes Mega Play Date or you know, when you gave into the Reach offering and you see the total and you know, wow, that's going to change lives. That's going to impact so many people for eternity. Like, that feels good, right? Like, because we're stepping into that being about others, right? But it's amazing how we then slip back in to being about ourselves. You know, I love John the Baptist. In John chapter 3, it's talking about the profile, you could say, of Jesus is really growing and he's getting more and more known. And so he starts baptizing people too. And then suddenly he's baptizing more people than John. And some of John's followers come to him and they say, dude, like, what about you, man? Like, this guy's taking your thunder. Like, what about you? And John says these incredible words. He says, Jesus must increase, I must decrease, right? Because he got it. Less me leads to bless me. This is not about me. This is not about what I get from this, my status, my... This is about Jesus being glorified amongst humanity, right? Less me leads to bless me. You know, at Nations Church, one of our culture statements is we're about others. And as believers, we must choose and continue to choose daily to lay down our lives for God and serve others, resisting the urge of the flesh to be ever so consumed. You know, a woman in our church... just last year, she gave her heart to the Lord, which was amazing. But I want to focus more actually on those that were involved. And you see, she was the neighbor. She lived on the same street as a couple that attended Nations, and she would walk past nearly every day, go for her walks. And so they started to chat with her and build a bit more of a relationship. Then she'd sit on the porch and have a cup of tea and that kind of thing. Then to the point where they eventually invited her along to Connect. And so they would drive down the street, pick her up, take her to Connect every week. And this woman wasn't a Christian. She'd immigrated from another country, no family here, and that kind of thing. And so the Connect just began to reach out and love on her, right? And she truly felt like she belonged. She says that. And so she just kept coming week in, week out, even before she was a believer, right? And so she had these struggles going on in her family, and her marriage was really having some challenges, but she kept coming in week out, and she gave her heart to the Lord towards end of last year. And at the end of the year, she came up to the Connect leaders and she said this. She said, "Connect saved my life." Like, Connect saved my life. They were blown away. And look, that's amazing for what God's done in this woman. But what I love seeing was just the sense of elation and fulfillment and joy in the leaders as they began to recount this back to us. Like, this is what God's done. And just that fulfillment, that blessed feeling that they had. And then I actually spoke to the couple that had then brought her along to church. And it was a week that I was preaching. And I remember her putting her hand up and responding. And I chatted to them. And they were beaming, right? And their joy was found in what they had seen as they gave out to this woman, right? They were blessed by being about others. Less me leads to blessed me. Galatians chapter 6 from verse 2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks there's something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load." Verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." You see, Paul is writing to the church, to believers just like you and me, right? And he's instructing us to carry each other's burdens. You know, this is the inherent word of God, right? This is not just a suggestion or, hey, if you got time, you know, if everything in your life has all come together, you've got what you need, you've got that darkroom tent, the kitchen's ready to go, then, you know, have a go thinking about what other people are going on. No, this is not a suggestion, right? But it's saying as we do it, you're actually fulfilling the simple law of Christ. Well, what is that? John 13, "A new command I give you." Jesus says, "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Not how the world loves you, who loves each other. "As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You see, through the whole letter of Galatians, Paul is battling these legalists among the Galatian Christians, right? And so here, he hits them again. Paul's essentially saying, do you want to fulfill the law? Well, here's your law to fulfill. Like, bear one another's burdens, right? And so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, he's saying, if you want to be about what's right and what honors God, like, stop getting caught in legalism and arguing with each other or looking for where others fall short or don't measure up to your standards, and actually start carrying each other's burdens, loving people as Christ has loved you. Verse 5 says, "Carry your own load." Now, hang on, that's a bit confusing. It just said carry each other's burdens, now carry your own load, which, you know, this may look like it kind of contradicts, but let's interpret the scripture, right? The wording in Greek is very different. When it talks about carrying your own load, it actually refers to like a backpack. So it's talking about carrying your responsibilities, like what you're accountable for. You know, that's what it's alluding to, right? And so whereas carrying others' burdens means heavy burdens, like those that are just, they're too much to bear, right? They're more than what we can carry. And so what it's saying is we have a final accountability before God. Like, we're responsible for the choices that we make, right? And how we serve God with our lives, right? But we're also charged with helping to bear the burdens of others and care for those in the body of Christ. And we're actually then held accountable because that's part of our responsibility. That's part of our load. You know, I know there are people in this church that may not be connected in. They don't feel like they're part of it, or you're not in a Connect group. And to be honest, like, I worry about that. Like, because what happens when you do go through these heavy burdens? Because the scripture's not saying, oh, if that possibly happens to you, like, it's actually implying that we all go through them. We all have heavy burdens at times. And so how are you going to manage that? if you don't have faith-filled people around you that are going to carry your burdens with you, they're going to pray with you, they're going to stand with you, they're going to support you with meals or help at home with the kids or do pickups or drop it, whatever it may be, if you don't have that, man, that's dangerous waters, if you ask me. You know, another testimony from youth summer camp was actually a boy's kneecap was dislodged, so he couldn't really bend or run and things, and he was healed, and it clicked back into place, and he was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. But it actually happened when this boy's connect group got around him and prayed and joined together in their faith. What about you? Have you got people that get around you in their faith, right? In faith, like, are you getting around and supporting them with your faith, right? I think about that kid and the healing and the miracle. Like, what miracles could you be missing out on in your life because you're not in a connect? You're not in that space of faith. And come on, we'll stand with you. We'll believe for that what's going on. Or, hey, my cousin just got a miracle from that. I'm going to believe that for you, right? Or what miracles are you missing out on playing a part in because you're not carrying each other's burdens, right? God orchestrates the body of Christ to gather big, like we are here today, and to gather small, right? It's very clear in the books, in the book of Acts, as the early church is birthed. So if you're looking for an opportunity to give or to carry the burdens of others, to fulfill the law of loving others like Christ, then be planted in a connect group, right? And for the majority of us that are, we're here, we're planted in a connect, right? What does it look like to step deeper into giving rather than receiving? How can I be a part of someone else's miracle? How can I serve and carry their burdens, right? Let's engage with this heart, the heart of God, and watch your heart slide into that makarios. Less me leads to a blessed me. You know, I mentioned some of the young teens being activated in the prophetic at summer camp, and that's really cool. But, you know, again, it happened because they're in an environment of other believers championing them in their faith, right? Like, some of you celebrate that or you send your teenage that, but you're not prioritizing it for your own life, right? Like, we prioritize it for maybe teenagers or for the kids, but not for ourselves. Well, what's that about? Like, what's going on? Is that maybe a pride thing? Well, I think it is, because when we go back to that verse 3 that Paul says, he says, if anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. He's talking about this pride. You see, pride prevents us from, one, receiving the help of others. No, I'm fine. I'll work it out. I can do it, right? But it also prevents us from bearing one another's burdens, right? It's often pride that keeps us from ministering to one another. Now, pride is self-focused. Pride doesn't necessarily say, oh, I'm better than you are, right? But pride says, in my mind, I'm more important than you are. So I deserve more of my own attention and love than you do. That's what it's saying, right? But instead, biblical humility, it tells us, I'm no more important than you are. Let me care about your burdens and your needs. And Paul writes that with the same idea behind Philippians 2. He says, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Wow, so what these scriptures are saying, that maybe, like, under it all, maybe the reason that you're not about others, that we're not being consumed or committed to carrying others' burdens and walking in blessing, is actually because of pride. And from what the word says, pride leads to destruction. It comes before the fall. But what's cool about the scriptures is also saying, if I esteem you above me and you esteem me above yourself, you know, we then have a community where everyone is looked up to and no one is looked down upon, right? That's a picture of unity, am I right? And in Psalm 133, it says how good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commands the what? The blessing, life forevermore. Are you getting this? When we become all about others, we align with the heart of Christ, we fulfill the law of Christ, we engage in unity, which leads to an overflow of anointing, and we step in to blessing. This is how it works, church. We miss out on blessing, on anointing, on a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, returned to us when we make life about me, myself, and I. Less me leads to a blessed me. You know, so practically, there's so many ways you can outwork this in the day-to-day. And I pray that you go away from here and say, Holy Spirit, what does it look like for me to be about others, to carry others' burdens? But when I look at the design of His church, gather big, gather small, well, that seems clear to me that there's the choice to serve in God's house and there's the choice to be planted in a connect group. That's straightforward and giving you avenues to be about others. You know, I couldn't count on my fingers the number of times where I've been in a connect group and just being able to share what's going on and the struggles in my work with ministry or things going on with family. And I've been prayed for, stood by, encouraged. you know, a little more than 2 years after we started the campus in Phnom Penh, we felt to start an English service. Everything was in the local language. Come on, we felt to start an English service because and reach out to expats because they needed a faith community, and frankly, so did we. It was very different ministering to a foreign culture, foreign language. And so I remember this point maybe a year on when Tam, my wife, was so sick with gastro that I had to take her to the hospital. And so I had to call someone from Connect because all our family is here in Perth. And I had to call someone from Connect to come in the middle of the night and be with Shiloh. She was about a year old at the time. So I could take Tam to the hospital. And so they very willingly came. And about an hour later, I get a phone call from this person saying, hey, Shiloh's now vomiting and diarrhea, and I think she's got gastro too. I'm like, great, I'm here at the hospital with my wife. How do I fix my, you know? And so she brought Shiloh to the hospital too and stayed with us, and I was able to go back and forth between my wife and my daughter. And it was just, that's a crazy time, right? You know, and as we got out of hospital the next day, you know, we had multiple Connect members dropping over meals and just doing whatever. We had a whole Connect group praying for us. And man, that would have been an incredibly, incredibly hard time if we'd just been ourselves, right? You know, like we were so well looked after and loved on. And we wouldn't have had that if we hadn't have been obedient and committed to fostering that faith community in our lives and in our church. You know, then on the other hand, there's countless times where I've been able to minister to or encourage or give a word to someone, pick them up, their kid up from school, or drop a meal off, right? Carry the burdens of our Connect family. And it's a beautiful picture and it shocks the world around us, right? It preaches Christ, amen. You know, when we moved into our house in December, we had a whole heap of people help us from church, and there's this whole army, and a lot of the neighbors kind of were shocked and commented on all these people helping, you know, that we almost blocked the street with all the cars and trailers and things, and they were just like, well, who are these people? Where do they all come from? And I'm like, well, that's because we're part of a Christ-loving community that understands that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Like, we were preaching to our neighbors before we've even moved in, amen? You know, I'm touching on the reciprocity of being in a Connect group here and you pouring into others, others pouring into you. And there'll be seasons where you need more pouring into or where you're able to pour more into others, right? But that's why we all need each other. Yeah? And I want you to catch that there's such a beauty in the reciprocity of others seeking to give and serve one another. And it's beautiful because it's God's design. You got too much in you to keep it to yourself. Right, there's convictions, there's testimony, there's understanding of the word that you have, there's faith, there's curries and baked goodies and so much more that others need to receive. You know what, you think I'm kidding about the baked goodies? Let me tell you a little story about a girl named Emily. She was a part of our English service in Phnom Penh, but just quite irregular, didn't come very much with her family, and we're trying to connect her in, and she came to Connect 1 week, and we'd always do like all right, we're doing this meal, everyone say what they're bringing for that. And we were doing our taco soup. It's like an American thing. Anyone know what taco soup is? Yeah, a couple people, yeah. Yeah, see that hand? Taco soup. And so it was good, but she's like, all right, I'll do like the chili mince salsa thing. And she brought it along and oh my goodness, it was amazing. It was to die for. I was like, oh my, and everyone was complimenting her and you could just see her like really like beaming from that. And I felt God say like, go and call that out of her as ministry. And so I just began to say, hey, you know, like that's actually a gift from God, like to be able to cook and do hospitality and like that actually serves others and blesses others. And she was like, really? Like, and just this shock and this sense of coming alive was like, whoa, I have something to give, you know? And within a couple of weeks, she joined up with the hospitality team. And I kid you not, every second week at English service, man, we were getting brownies and cookies. And I'm like, what a blessing to my body. I mean, the body, right? Like, amazing, right? And that's awesome for her, but I love telling that story because I got the joy. Like, I got the blessing of being used by God to see her step into her gifting, right? To see her jump in. And you know, I'll take that any day of the week. I felt so blessed. I'll give you one more story. And I was chatting to a Connect leader just last week, and he was sharing me the story of his neighbor. And worship team, you can come join me. And he'd been building a friendship with his neighbor, right? Starting to chat when you get home from work, you know, looking after each other's homes when they're away, you know, and they'd catch up and chat, you know, the over-the-fence chats. Who does the over-the-fence chats? Yeah, cool. I'm starting to do that too with my neighbors. It's awesome. But this whole time, just really being conscious about opportunities to share about Jesus. But he was really wrestling with these doubts of like, man, I just feel like the guy's, he's not interested. He's closed off. And anyways, it came to this point where they had a really big chat about faith, and the leader was, this leader was able to share their story, and suddenly, not long after that, this neighbor comes to him and says, you know, I felt God speak to me to change my life, And so as we've been chatting, you've shared me about this connect group that you go to, like, can I come? And he said, oh, it's tomorrow night. He's like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll come. And so he came along to the connect, and he was well overdressed. Like, he was dressed like, you know, button up and all that kind of thing. And if you've never been connect before, it's casual. You can wear whatever you want. All right. You just relax. Okay. But that's too, he's never been in any space like this before. And he said, you know, he really felt, in hindsight, he called it God's presence. At the time, he said he felt something good. And he says now he felt God's presence. And he was in a space where his marriage was really struggling. It was on the verge of falling apart. And the connect group just got around him and prayed with him and loved on him. And he was so impacted that he said, okay, can I come to church tomorrow? And so he came to church the next day to the service. And since then, he's given his life to God. He's done Life Found. He's now bringing family members along to church too. Like, it was amazing. I got to meet him after the service last week at Myrie and just chat with him. And this dude was just beaming. And that's so cool. It's an awesome testimony. But it was hearing the joy and the passion and the drive for more from this leader. Like, he starts talking about, you know, and I've got these guys at work that I'm reaching out and I'm praying, and you know, it's hard, but I'm going to keep believing. And I couldn't shut him up. Not that I wanted to, but like, he was just this drive, this passion, this sense of, wow, this is fulfilling me. This, I feel so blessed. And it wasn't about himself at all, right? He was so blessed by that. And he said this to me. He said, I think it's really beautiful. He said, connects are like the little branches that lead people to church and to Jesus. Oh, beautiful. How good is that, right? You know, if there's any changes for you in this new year, 2023, anything that you're going to leap into or commit this year, let it be planted, being planted in a connect group, amen. Stepping into fulfilling the very words of Christ to love one another, to be about others, and really prioritizing this space, amen. Because less me leads to a blessed me, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.